The sixth cry from the cross is found in John 19, verse 30. It follows on directly after the cry of "I thirst." When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Perhaps you've seen the film Braveheart. In the final scene, William Wallace, the Scottish hero, is about to be executed. He has been tortured and he has suffered his torture in silence. And as the executioner draws near, Wallace indicates that he wishes to speak. And with that, he summons his final reserves of strength to cry out one last great word: freedom. It's inspiring, and yet it's also tragic. One last cry of defiance before death. We come to look at Jesus' words on the cross. We are nearly at the last thing. He has been through physical and spiritual agony, and he summons his last strength. He takes wine to moisten his lips, and he cries one great word: finished. In English, it's three words. In Greek, it's simply one: finished. It was not a weak cry of, "Oh, I am finished. It's all over." It's the shout of triumph, not tragedy, of a victor, not a victim. It's the single greatest word ever uttered. Finished. It embodies why the good news is good news and not good advice. It's a victory. You see, if a king goes off to battle and he fights against the enemy and he sends word back and says, "Bring in the rations, shore up the defences, man the barricades," that's good advice. When the king sends back the message, "It is finished," that's not good advice. That's good news. The battle is won. The war is over. Victory has been achieved. And that is what Christ is getting at here. But why did he shout it out? See, it wasn't meant simply for the soldiers or his disciples, but it was meant to ring down through the centuries to us. What was finished? What was it? Well, there are many different aspects of what was finished, but I want to point your attention to simply two. What the Father had required from Jesus was finished. What was it that the Father required? Jesus was to be our substitute. And that was going to take two things. God requires a perfect life from every human being. And for 33 years, Jesus had maintained a perfect life. We do not simply need a substitute to pay for our sin. We need a substitute to live the life that we should have lived. Jesus wasn't just your substitute on Golgotha, but in his carpenter's shop, in the daily toil and grind of life, and in the marketplace, in conversation, in temptation, in his childhood, in his tiredness, he was your substitute. The law of God required perfection. It had to be kept perfectly. And for 33 years, Jesus was tested in every way as we are, and yet was without sin. And it was accomplished. Like an artist painting a picture, he lays down his palette knife or his brush, and he says, "Finished." So Jesus looks at his life and says, "It's finished. It's accomplished." His life was a masterpiece of obedience. And it was finished, done, accomplished, achieved. When you look at your best efforts, and you're honest, you see that they are flawed. How could God accept me? And we hear this cry: "It is accomplished." And God looks at what has been accomplished on your behalf. That's the first aspect that we need. The second thing that we need is we need someone to pay. And on the cross, Jesus, as we have seen, is paying for our sin. He's paying. Wrath had to be faced. We have sinned, and we deserve punishment. And we see on the cross the unimaginable horror of the perfect Son of God bearing sin, facing the punishment that our sins deserved, for 3 hours in darkness on the cross. the cup of wrath that he had spoken of in Gethsemane. For 3 hours he drinks that wrath in all its choking, hellish fury. Wrath that you deserved and I deserved. Wrath that his people deserved. And now he cries, "It is finished. It is finished." He's drained that cup to the very last drop. The suffering is over. And he shouts because he wants his people to know, "It is finished. All we deserved, he has taken it all. Every stroke, every blow, every moment of the Father's displeasure. It is finished. There's nothing left for us to face. There is nothing left for us to pay." As we bring today's reflection to a close, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that it is finished. Thank you that Jesus has done all that is necessary for our salvation. Thank you for the perfect life that he lived that we couldn't live. Thank you for the death he died that we deserved to die. Thank you that he drained the cup of your wrath to the very last drop, leaving only the cup of your pleasure for those who would trust in him. Thank you that there is nothing left for us to add. Thank you that you require nothing more of us than to turn to you and to accept this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 22 opens with the cry of forsakenness, but that is not how it ends. The closing verses of the psalm look down through the centuries, foretelling the triumph of the good news, its spread, and of a righteousness that is a gift from God. The closing line, "And it was done by him alone," echoes Jesus' cry from the cross, "It is finished."